Welcome to this episode of That's How We Roll, and today's guest is Jill Dalton. Jill is an accomplished actor and an award-winning playwright. She has performed both on and off Broadway. Her memoir, My Life in the Trenches of Show Business, Escape to New York, Act 1, is available on Amazon. And me, personally, I can't wait for Act 2. She has essays published in countless magazines. Her plays Collateral Damage and Whistleblower were both semifinalists in the Eugene O'Neill National Playwrights Conference. Her solo play, Lizzie Borden Live, for which she won a Jacobi Award for her portrayal of Lizzie, was commissioned by the East Lynn Theatre Company and had a successful and critically acclaimed six-week run with the original music from Tony and four-time Emmy winner composer Larry Hockman. Jill has countless acting credits, including Things Heard and Seen, Rachel Getting Married, and Oliver Stone's Wall Street, and almost every soap opera, including one of my favorites, All My Children, As the World Turns, Saturday Night Live, and her most recent credits are the CBS series FBI and HBO's Succession. It is my pleasure to welcome my longtime friend, Jill Dalton. Jill, I'm so happy and so grateful and thankful that you're here. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. It's exciting.
Oh, great. So how are you? How have you been? I mean, you're all over Amazon now. You're big time. I mean, you're always big time in my eyes. So,
I mean, I've been good. I've been holed up in my apartment like everybody else for the pandemic, but at least I have a cat that is so bossy, but I was glad to have her.
I know.
It was nice, but yeah, I've been good. I actually worked during the pandemic. I did a print ad. I was scared to death. I was like, am I going to die?
Yeah.
If I do this? And then I did FBI, but the protocols are so meticulous on these sets and the amount of COVID tests. I mean, I had to have a COVID test every single day, even if I wasn't working during that entire week. I would have to travel to Brooklyn to have a COVID test, and then you get tested before you go on set when you are working. So they really are very, very meticulous and careful.
It really was that the sets seemed to be the safest place to be because,
that's right,
because you had to be tested 48 hours before, and then you had to be tested every single day that you would work. And still, people were testing positive, or people were false positive or false negative. But they really did have great protocols, and everybody was pretty much safe. And I felt like when other businesses opened, they were not as, I mean, their way of checking your temperature. And you know that,
yeah,
people can be symptomatic and not show any signs. So
yeah,
I felt safer going to work on a film than I would if I had a job doing something else. I wanted to go see my chiropractor, but they were not testing anybody. I just didn't go out unless I was going to work or going to the grocery store.
Yeah, that's basically what I did. I mean, my dentist called me and they said, you know, we have your crown. You've still got that temporary in. I go, I know, but I'm not coming. You'll have to wait. And they were like, okay, well, we're following all the protocols. Everything's good. Nobody's gotten sick. I said, okay, thank you. Bye.
Yeah, I'll see you after the vaccine.
That's right. That's right.
Well, you really have been super busy because you were popping up every place. And it was so great to see all the work that you were doing and to see you in action, because you have been doing Lizzie Borden since I met you. And I loved how you were it seems like it. You know, you probably weren't, but it seemed like it. And I never thought of Lizzie Borden that I didn't think of you and the play. And the picture of you looking perfectly like Lizzie Borden in every picture. So I love that. You were really popping up every place, and it was so great. Anything that you're doing now that you can talk about? Because I know a lot of jobs are hush-hush.
Well, you know, I was doing a Broadway show right before, during the pandemic. We had three previews and then it shut down, and I think it's going to come back. There's been some issues with that, but I'm not even allowed to say what the show is because mm-hmm. I'm not allowed to, but I'm hoping that that's going to come back. And, you know, I think I'm going to do another my act two of my life in the trenches. I'm getting ready to hopefully put that out. And then I have like four of my stories, which are going to be published over the next, I guess, this year. So,
wow, that's great. Yes, I read when, because I'm on your mailing list. So when I saw that you had the story out on Amazon, and it was like a great story, I didn't even want it to end. And I was like, well, I hope there's more to that because I wanted to hear about this. It was a gym, right? You worked at a gym or like a community center or something?
An aerobic studio.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And immediately I was at the aerobic studio saying, wow, I should have signed up for that. I should have signed up for that class.
I know. I mean, I decided to do the book in three acts since plays are usually written in three acts. So, and that way it would be short. And because I was like, I don't want to put the whole thing together because what if it's a big bore, you know? So I wanted to do like one act at a time, and it's gotten a really good response. So I don't know. I would like for it to be a Netflix series. I'm just going to put that out there.
Just put it out there. Why not? Why not? It's a Hulu thing. It's a Netflix thing. I mean, you know,
let's,
you know, like I said, everything is popping for you. So why not that? I really enjoyed it. So I am looking forward to the second act. I really hope, I just can't wait for it to come out.
Oh, well, you know what? I think the first book, I didn't work at an aerobic studio in the first book. Are you talking about when I was doing mine? I worked at community centers and places like that. Yes. The aerobic studio, I think that's an act too.
But the mime, you know, it's so funny because I saw that you posted on Facebook. I didn't know you were a mime. Like, I've known you for so long. Did I know and forgot you a mime?
No.
But I would have loved it.
I kept that on the down low because, you know, mime was considered so, like, I don't know, corny, I guess, but we had a great, you know, little company, a great little run. And we were sponsored by the National Endowment for the Arts and the South Carolina Arts Commission. So, you know, we had a great little group and then it broke up. But because that's the way things go.
Right.
But
it was fun while it lasted. So that's a good thing.
Yes.
And how long were you a mime?
Maybe 4 years, something like that.
That's a long time to not say anything. I mean... But okay.
I used to talk between the pieces, so don't worry. I got my talking.
You got your talking in.
I did. You know me, I had to.
Exactly, right. I don't like to be quiet. It's kind of hard. You always want to talk, and especially when you're out doing something and you're seeing people and you want to talk. You want to say something.
Exactly.
Even before the pandemic, actors, we started auditioning, doing a lot of self-taping. But this pandemic, it really took over. And me living in a small apartment, having to set up for print shoots, I had several print auditions, having to be far enough away, whether I want to use my cell phone or if I wanted to use like my professional camera to try to set up to get the right angles without getting the TV, without getting the dresser, without getting the closets. You know, it was crazy. It was crazy. But you had FBI and the other auditions that you had. So this was an audition that you had to do at home. You did it on Zoom, or was it EcoCast, or how did this come about?
Well, my manager, he sends me out. So he sent me this thing for FBI. And okay, when we first started having to do these self-tapes, I was furious. I was like, how dare they? Don't we have enough to do? Blah, blah, blah. And then the pandemic hit and there was not a choice. And I was like, I'm not getting a backdrop. I'm not doing this. And then the next thing you know, I'm like calling a friend. Where'd you get your backdrop? So, because at first I wouldn't even use them. I'm like, well, too bad. This is it. Take it or leave it. And I mean, I have a window behind me, you know, I mean, so little by little, I got my backdrop and then I started doing them. I was doing them on my phone, but when you're alone, you know, you live alone, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, I got to go up to the camera. I got to turn it on. And then I had to learn iMovie so I could edit out me walking up to the phone. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
So then I started working on Zoom because everything was on Zoom. But the Zoom camera and microphone are horrible. So then another friend of mine told me about this camera to buy, which uses the microphone for Zoom. So I started doing things on Zoom, and I started working with this. I take an acting class with Greg Sims once a week, and it's on Zoom. And what he has taught me so much, he's like, none of that stuff matters. You're an actor. They just want to see you do the work. And
yeah.
So, and he uses actions and as ifs and let it rip. Get out of your head. Just do it. I started working with his technique. And so I did the audition for FBI. I had a backdrop. I did it on Zoom. Of course, I had to cry. So I did that. And then my manager contacted me then, like, very soon after that, because TV, they work fast. And he was like, they're interested in you, but they want to see your reel. And I'm like, okay. I realized I hadn't updated my reel.
Oh,
but
man.
Because I had taught myself iMovie by going on YouTube and learning, I was able to put the clips that I didn't have on the reel, I put them on the reel, and then I sent it out. And I didn't have everything on it, but I had enough. And so that's how I booked the job, was from the audition and the reel.
Wow. When I hear people say that, oh, I'm so bored during the pandemic, I don't have anything to do. I had so much stuff to do.
I've never been so busy in my life.
I was so busy. I was busy learning things, you know.
Yes.
It's easy for me to do editing, but I got better at it. But I was like, oh my God, if the pandemic stops tomorrow, I have so much to do. Like, what am I going to do? I have yet to run out of things to do. And I seem like I still don't have time to do them. But that was great that you learned to do that.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same way as you. I was like, I signed up for that acting class. I do a writing class. I do a goal setting class. So and then I would do my writing, and I would do my auditions, my self-tapes. I was like so busy. I was like, oh my gosh, I've never been so busy in my life. But I used it like you to learn new things. I would go, well, I need to, if we're going to do self-tapes, if that's what we're going to do, then I need to know iMovie. I need to figure these things out. So I was very stressed, but little by little, I would just keep breaking it down. And then I would forget, and I'd go, Jill, write it down, put it on your computer so you don't have to look it up again and watch another video. So I learned that. So yeah, I love learning. Yeah. I think that's one of the best things. And you know, as an actor, for me to be in an acting workshop once a week, it's like going to the gym. It just keeps myself in shape. And then when I get a self-tape or an audition, I'm not going like, oh boy, oh now what do I do? No. I just do it. I mean, that's another thing working with Greg. He's like, you know, you loop it. You do it two or three times, you know, edit the one you want, send it in. He said, don't spend, you know, 6 days on this. That's ridiculous. Just do it. Just do it. And when I worked on FBI, the director said to us, let's loop this scene. Let's just do it a few times. And I said, oh, he's just like my acting mm-hmm. teacher. So I felt so just in my element having the, you know, I learned all this method stuff and everything. Believe me, I don't use any of that anymore. That really bogged me down and made me hate acting, actually. And this way of working is very different and it's about using your imagination, but in a very specific way. So now I can like acting again.
Yeah. Well, yes. Well, acting and writing, because you're doing this and you hit on something. I was going to say that you have always inspired me from the moment that we met and clicked. You are very positive and very motivating. And I'm so glad for your successes because I've seen your journey.
Thank you.
And so I'm so happy for you. And you mentioned about being inspired. So I wanted to ask you, who or what inspires you?
I would say I am very inspired by older, wiser women. Everyone from my aunt who's in her 90s to Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlin, Tina Turner. And I'm very inspired by anyone especially women, who you know, like the suffragettes, the Quakers, the abolitionists, anyone who stands up for human rights, speaks out for justice, anybody like that, from a Harriet Tubman to Susan B. Anthony, women who use their voices to create good on the planet. That's what inspires me.
That is a great source of inspiration, too.
Oh, it is. And I can look at someone like Jane Fonda when I get into my head or my ego starts going, girl, you're too old, all that stuff. I go, wait a minute, hold the phone.
Right.
Let's take a look here. Let's look at Jane Fonda. Let's look at Lily Tomlin. Let's look at these women who are working. And so I just.
And I still think they're at the top of their game.
Always. I feel that too. I'm like, these, you know, they're amazing. So that's what inspires me. And, you know, when I read Tina Turner's book, I mean, 100 years ago, I, Tina, and that book gave me the courage to leave my husband, to get a divorce. Not that I left, he left. I mean, I made him leave, but I kept the apartment. I'm not crazy.
A smart woman.
A smart woman, yes. I prefer smart women. So when I read her book and I read her story and I was like, well, she can do it. She left with nothing, then I can do it. And I remember I had a girlfriend, she used to laugh at me because she would go, I, Tina. So inspiration, I take it wherever I can. Women who've stood up for themselves to make their lives better and for the planet as well.
And for each other, helping other women.
Yes, absolutely. That's so important because it only helps you. Whatever we give out, it comes back to us. It may not come back from the source that we give to, but it will come back tenfold and in other ways. And, you know, I used to be so envious of actors that were working and I'd be jealous and I'd be like, why aren't I doing, I don't, but once I let go of all that, because that was blocking my good, mm-hmm. to have that sort of negativity around other people. And once I started saying, you know what, I'm just like you said, you were so happy for me. That's the way I feel now. I'm happy for anyone who can, you know, do something they love and get work and make a difference and be happy.
That's right. And spread the joy, make others happy. Just being able to watch Netflix, we were talking about Netflix earlier, all these shows that were running during the pandemic, and everybody was relying on this mental getaway. So they were on Netflix, they were on Hulu, they were watching all these shows so that they can escape the realism of what's going on outside their windows.
Oh yeah, it saved me. I would go, ooh, okay. What? And I have a girlfriend and we would call each other and she'd say, well, I'm watching blah, blah, blah. And I go, okay, let me write that down.
I know.
Hold on. Where is it streaming? Which one? Okay. Well, this is what I'm watching. So actors, you know, we give a lot to the world in a really wonderful way. And I am so grateful for all the streaming services.
Yes, me too. Me too. And I got to catch up on things and got to revisit shows that I hadn't watched in years. And still, it seems like I didn't watch everything. Seems like, man, I missed that one. Because I went to YouTube University. So my hours were occupied in learning how to do different things or getting better at something too. So sometimes I didn't watch TV just so that I could learn how to do something else and practice. So I am grateful for having that outlet when I needed it, when I got tired of listening to the news and hearing about death and mayhem. It really was helpful just to escape, if only for 30 minutes, only for 2 hours and a half, whatever it is. It was great to do that.
I agree. I totally.
So I know that you are a hardcore cleaner and organizer. And I remember this story about how you don't like a whole lot of stuff. I just remember you saying something about downsizing, like throwing stuff away, cleaning out cabinets, and you had no problem throwing stuff away. I was cleaning out my storage room during the pandemic. I didn't even know what was in some of these boxes. I didn't even bother looking. I'm like, if it was down in the storage area for this amount of time, whatever is in it, I don't need, and I'm not going to miss.
Yeah.
But organizing. So did you continue to do your organizing? Did you end up throwing away even more stuff during this past 14, 15 month period?
You know, I did, but nobody, I don't have a car. Nobody would pick up anything, but I found one company. It was for an animal rescue place, and you could donate to them, and they would come pick it up. I just had to put it down in the lobby and then open the door for the guy to come in and take it away. So I did that, but I'm doing a whole nother one again now, because I went online and Salvation Army is picking up, so I have a date. What I realize is I have been holding on to a lot of clothes. Some of them are expensive, not that I ever paid full price for any of them, but I was going to sell them on eBay. But you know what? That is such a big job. I used to do it, and it's a job. So I just decided, all right, Jill, you need to go through this and just... But I have a hard time, too, releasing things. But I have three big bags over here right now full of handbags I no longer use, towels and sheets that I've replaced. And I had two drawers of pajamas. I'm like, who needs two drawers of pajamas? What decade? Come on. It's not like I'm holding pajama parties.
So right, exactly.
So I got rid of like half of those. And, you know, and the key is to, you do it in categories. So if I want to get rid of bags, pocketbooks, whatever they're called now, purses, I pulled out every single bag that I had. I put it in the middle of my living room floor so you can actually see what you have, instead of like going, oh, well, let me look. Oh, mm-hmm. These are only three bags in this shelf. Oh, those are great. I'll leave that. No, I put them all in the middle of the floor. And then you go, oh my gosh, I cannot even believe how many bags I have. I got rid of like 12 of them. And I think one of them for sure, I used it once, but it was so cumbersome and weird. I was like, I can't use this bag. So I guess I'm continually downsizing and doing it. But now I'm a little more ruthless. I'm hoping. But I've actually been paid to do that, to clean out a file. And I get calls every once in a while. Will you do this for my friend? Or will you? And now I say no. It's such a hard job. If I have to do it again, I will. But I've done it, and it's for other people. I did a 5-story townhouse.
Oh my gosh. Moving.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. 3 kids that were grown and out, but still stuffed there, husband and wife. And it went to like 5 different locations. And the woman had her business in the townhouse, and we cleaned out the business first. And that job was huge. And it takes a lot of mental and also a lot of physical strength.
Yeah.
You know, when you're
How long did that take? Like
a couple
months?
Months. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we worked 3 or 4 days a week. And I mean work. This woman, I was like, here we go. Here we go. Yes. Yeah. And she's fast. So, but it's a hard job.
Man. So, yeah, it really is. Yeah. Even just throwing out a little bit of stuff. And I had to have Salvation Army come a couple times. I had one of the last big televisions. The TV was so heavy, I couldn't even move it.
Was that a Sony Trinitron by any chance?
It was a Panasonic.
Yeah, because I got rid of mine and Salvation Army came and picked it up. And I wrote, you know, you can write on the little space there. And I said, please bring 2 guys. This is a big TV. And I put it all in caps. So when he knocked on the door, he said, let me guess, Sony Trinitron. I go, how did you know? He goes, the biggest, heaviest TV ever made. I go, that's the one. So I took it.
But it was huge. It was huge.
I know. And it weighs a lot.
Yeah. When the guy came in, I had little booties, and I would give, if they came to fix something, like they came, something happened to my refrigerator right at the height of the pandemic. So when they came to fix it, I bought these booties on Amazon, and I would say, hey, can you put these on? 2 guys came for the TV, and one guy said, oh, I don't want to put these on. So the younger kid said, no problem. He put it on. He came in, and so the guy says, hey, lift with your knees. So he lifted, it was on a stand, and he lifted it up, and he carried it to the door. Then they both took it. But
wow,
that TV was heavy. So I'm becoming the same way. I just start saying, I haven't worn this. Let me get, mm-hmm. you know, I'm just getting rid of it. And I still have more to do.
Of course, because as actors, I was always collecting clothes.
Yeah.
And now I don't need as many clothes because luckily when I'm on a set, they're going to fit me and what they want me to wear. So, you know, it's a different situation. So I don't need, and also, I mean, I hate to admit it, but I have gained a little weight. So I don't wear an 8 anymore. And I'm going, eight? Who am I kidding? Who am I kidding? I know. I'm like, oh boy. Okay. Well, yikes. Yeah. No, no more 8s.
Yeah.
And also, as I'm older, I'm like, what if something happened, right? And let's just say that I'm not here anymore. And then I'm going to expect my family to come in and have to deal with this?
Right.
No, that's not right. That's not fair. So, yeah, I'm thinking ahead.
Right. That's exactly right. What advice can you offer to any actors and any writers?
Well, this is going to sound weird, but I would say heal yourself. Because for me, I came from an alcoholic family and I was very dysfunctional. I was only getting in my own way. I was codependent. I was in an unhealthy marriage and I went to therapy. She sent me after several years to 12-step. I went to Codependence Anonymous and really all of these things. Oh, and I went to Arts Anonymous because I wasn't even doing my art. I was anorexic with my art. I mean, I wasn't doing anything. And little by little, I was able to heal myself and become an authentic, get back to my authentic self. And I would tell actors and writers, you know, trust yourself, follow your own heart, don't listen to other people, and things are going to happen. And what I used to do, which I wish I never did, I tried to really push and make things happen instead of trusting, mm-hmm. trusting that there is a something greater than myself that is at work. And if I will trust it and be open to it, I will be guided instead of me saying, oh, no, I don't want that. I'm pushing that away because I'm going after this. And not to fight. Don't fight the universe. Surrender and allow these things because the universe guides us. But we have to be still and listen and trust. I call it radical trust. And just follow your heart, really. And I mean, I don't recommend that anyone be a writer or an actor, but if that's your calling, then that's your calling. And that's what you have to do. I mean, we all have these journeys that we take in life and, you know, and just take it, you know, one step at a time. I call it following the breadcrumbs through the forest. One thing leads you, like Hansel and Gretel, you just follow the breadcrumbs. Oh, this led me here. Let me look at this. Okay. And then that leads you here. And I don't worry about it anymore. I just say, I mean, I was getting auditions like every week from my manager. And then all of a sudden I didn't hear from him for a month. And what I thought was, I didn't even think, oh, he's not sending me out. What I thought was, what if he's sick? Because we're living in this pandemic. So I just wrote him an email and I just said, I'm just checking in to make sure that you're okay. And he wrote back, oh, yes, yes, I'm fine. He said, it's been slow, but I'll get you back out soon. And I said, great. I really appreciate it, you know, but I'm just glad to know that you're alive and well. So it's like, don't sweat. Keep trusting and keep moving forward and do your own work. Don't wait for other people to do it for you. I've always done my own work. I had that mine company. And then I've always written, if nobody's hiring me, then okay, then I'll write my own play, dang it. And I did stand-up comedy for 4.5 years because that was the only place I could get on stage. And I took classes and I don't recommend stand-up comedy either, but I'm just saying, you know, that everybody has a unique path and you just follow it and you never know what's going to happen. And then I realized, you know what, I need to make some money. And that's when I started doing the extra work. I mean, I never thought in a million years I would do it, but I did. And you know what, I got my pension and mm-hmm. things are going to happen. It's like play the hand you're dealt. Certain things are going to happen. And instead of fighting it, just going, okay, how can I turn this obstacle, like in an acting scene, mm-hmm. how can I take this obstacle and turn it into a gift? Because lots of times obstacles come disguised as gifts that are protecting us from something or guiding us to a better place that we can't in our little egoic minds come up with.
Totally.
So,
totally.
Yeah.
And I see it all the time. It's always going to be an obstacle. And sometimes that obstacle is someone that you know that may be, and just the words that they say, it doesn't have to really be something physical. It can be something mental. So many times people are saying that, well, I wanted to do this, but somebody was waiting for somebody to do this, but they never did it. So now it's too late for me to do my thing. So there's so many obstacles, and you do have to, you can get over or around any obstacle. The thing of it is, you just have to remember to just do it. I'll figure out how to get around it. It might take me a little longer, but I'm just going to keep on.
Yes, that's it. You just keep, I mean, when I wasn't acting, then I would say, well, I'm going to write. And then I start writing. And then I get an acting job and I go, okay, so now I'm going to act, you know, and I go, okay, so I do that. And then I go, okay, now I'm going to write. And now I'm going to start sending out my stories and people are publishing them. So you just never, I just believe create. Right. We are creative beings, especially women. I didn't have children. So because women are very creative in giving birth, I didn't do that. So I birth other things. Mm-hmm. I birth plays or stories or acting parts or whatever they are. Because I feel like if we can just, we're artists. So if you can just create it, and it doesn't matter, you can't worry about where it goes. You're just doing it because you want to do it. It doesn't matter. The results are out of our control. All I have control over is I can sit down in the morning to the page and write. I can take my acting class. I can rehearse a scene. I can do self-tapes, but I don't have any control over anything else. And that's fine once I let go and realize, oh, yeah, why am I worried about? I mean, honestly, you know, I'm much older, but I work more than I ever have.
Yeah.
So all that stuff is a myth too, that if you're, you know, you're too old, you're too, no. Those are all limitations that, you know, self-imposed.
Other people.
Yeah. And so you just have to go, okay, all right, whatever. And I remember when I stopped dyeing my hair and I would see actresses and they'd go, oh my gosh, you have some gray hair. I go, yeah. Well, you don't color your hair? I go, no. They go, oh my gosh. Okay. And it was like they were dumbfounded. But you know what? The more I became and allowed myself just to be my authentic self and not try to be something I'm not. It's just better, especially for an actor. They just want something real. They just don't want the fake stuff, mm-hmm. At least for me.
If they want the fake stuff, they got a whole department that can make it fake. They you know,
true.
They got the hair, they got the makeup, they can fake anything they want to. So
that's true.
No need for you to be fake.
Yeah.
You've just laid out so much wisdom. So I want to ask my usual question, you know, what are some words of wisdom that you have? But you just laid out like you just built a little house with wisdom just now, you know. But do you have anything that you want to leave with us?
Well, I would say one thing is there's so much noise in the world and negativity and distractions. So for me, I meditate. And I've been meditating for maybe since 1990, just to spend time in the silence, spend time in nature, and don't listen to other people. Listen to your higher self. Listen to that part of you that knows, because we all have that part inside of us that knows. Make friends with it. Spend time with it. Spend time in nature. And just know that we're all one. We're all in this together. And sharing your gifts. I would say, when I used to coach actors, I would say, do not go into an audition to get anything. Go in there to give. Share your gifts, share your love, whatever it is, just share it. And for me, that's when I started booking jobs, is when I stopped going in there to get something. So I guess those are my words of wisdom.
That was very, very thoughtful and very wise.
Thank you.
So for anybody that wants to read Jill's books, find her on Amazon. I will put everything in the show notes so you can get all the information on Jill and find her and follow her career, because this is just the tip of the iceberg. And I just want to thank you so much, Jill. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for having me. I really feel honored. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I mean, I've known you for so long and I've always loved you. So thank you.
I appreciate you. I appreciate you saying that. Thank you again for being here.
Thanks, Davis.
Subscribe to the podcast. Find out more about Jill and check it out.
Yes.
Bye, everyone. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen, checking out the podcast. Thank you for inviting me into your space. And until next time, I hope you will continue to thrive, grow, and be kind to yourselves and be kind to others.